from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Ground ball, and this will win it for the A's. Lede races home. Oakland walks off the Mariners for the second straight night.
Oh, my God. That's 10 times now.
Oh.
10 times. Mariners, you suck. You're horrible
at baseball. Oh, Mariners. Hey, if it helps you at all, just know that. Hey, Mariners, just know that basically it's all, when it comes to walk-offs and one-run games, the analytics would tell you it's just luck of the draw.
Right.
But there's... also know, even if you had won half of those games by coin flip, that you'd still be behind the Astros right now.
You know,
Does that make you feel better?
I can tell you right
now. Does that make you feel any better, Mariners?
That's true, yeah. If you'd won half of them, you'd still be looking up at the Astros. Yeah, that was last night. No idea still why the Astros, I'm sure there's a reason that's been publicized, I just haven't been interested enough to look. No idea why the Astros had a Tuesday off in Cincinnati and they're back at it today. Did it have anything to do with Labor Day and them like a rain out or something? I have no idea. Sometimes at the beginning of the season, they'll do a day off after opening day in case there's a rain out of opening day.
Right.
Then they've got the next day. I have no idea why they're doing this on Labor Day weekend. But anyways, the Astros didn't play yesterday, but have you heard the good news? They still picked up ground. They were sitting at a bar somewhere in Cincinnati, probably just hanging out, shooting a little pool, maybe playing video games back at the hotel. And that's how good they are right now. They're just sitting around and they're picking up ground on the Seattle Mariners. They're that good right now.
Astros. I mean, you got Jake Myers was like his, you know, he's on paternity leave, but he probably figured, well, let's go ahead and have this baby because we got an off day on a Tuesday where the Mariners can't do a damn thing right. Let's pop this one out. For all I know, they had a 3-week prematurely planned. Planned preemie baby.
Little inducement. So the Mariners get walked off again by the A's. So the Astros pick up a little ground. We got Spencer Arrighetti going tonight for the Stros. So, life is good. How you doing this morning, my friend?
I feel good. I think you and I are both a little bit out of sorts, which will be good. Sometimes that leads to some of the best shows we've had when we feel a little bit underprepared. Yeah. I've got a food hangover, which is that's my version of a hangover these days.
Okay.
I wake up in the morning groggy and out of sorts because I binged last night. Not because of alcohol, but because of bagels and cream cheese.
Yeah, what happened? You've been very public about your discipline over the last several weeks with your, what is it, 1,200 calorie diet that you've been on per day?
I know, 1,200 to 1,800.
Yeah.
It's gone a little bit off the rails.
What happened?
Partly planned, but partly not. It's all good. It's all good. I haven't been that public about it. I try not to talk about it unless people ask
By public, I mean you've brought it up on the air.
Respond to my placard that says, ask me about my diet, bro.
Sometimes I got to remember, people don't like their business being out there, including their diet, you know?
Oh, no. I don't mind putting my business out. I just know that it's incredibly boring when somebody starts telling you about their diet. But just every now and then when you're curious about it or whatever.
Unless you get
paid. It's not a diet.
Unless you get paid to talk about it for 60 seconds on a live read, then it's the most fascinating thing ever.
Look, every single diet, whether it's Mediterranean diet onto Atkins or anything else, all of it, like basically the big thing when it comes to losing weight is calories in and calories out. Yeah. It's just a matter of, okay, what particular method works for you to where the hunger doesn't drive you insane,
right,
or where you don't feel that much hunger at all.
No,
I have my own little methods or what have you.
No, you're right.
But I decided to take a...
this is super boring. You're right.
No, yes, I know, I know, I know. I know. That's why I don't like talking about it, because then I get 400 texts on the text line of people that need to fill me in on exactly how it works. And they're like, no, it's all individual. Right. Everybody's got their own methods.
But you binged. This is more fun.
I decided to stick around right at the weight I'm at, because I feel like, okay, I got to be sure the football season's starting.
Yeah.
I don't want to get to some point where I'm depleted and all of a sudden I go completely off the rails.
Yeah.
But I said I'm just going to eat normally and maintain for about a week, and I just I overshot a little bit.
Gotcha.
By way of a sleeve of bagels and a couple of tubs of cream cheese.
A whole sleeve, huh?
A sleeve of bagels.
That's a lot of carbs, dude.
It's worse than a sleeve of Girl Scout cookies, to be honest. Yeah. You know?
Tastes really good, though. I love me a good bagel.
I felt so good. I felt so good, and I'm really looking forward to 36 hours from now as well. It's going to be a blast. That's going to be one of my most middle-aged triumphs.
Oh, that's funny. And you got some good sleep last night, I can tell.
Why? Because of my energy?
Because you told me before the show.
Yeah. Except that, so I woke up this morning, I had Do Not Disturb on my phone, and I was still a little groggy, and I get this text from you that says, which I assume I'm getting at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Says, hey, could you mark some Casario audio? I've got my fantasy draft tonight. I'm like, man, Sean's taking this seriously.
He's going to be prepping for his draft during the show.
He did less show prep than usual, which is usually 100% of the show prep. And because he's got a fantasy draft tonight? What the hell?
It was last night. I sent the text yesterday. So you slept hard then. You just got that text this morning.
I got 9 hours of sleep.
Good for you,
man. I feel incredible.
Good for you.
Now. Just finally, it
Good
just took me about 3 minutes into the show.
The draft that I had last night is the league I've been in for 28 years. This is our
28 years. So you guys started off doing this on paper.
We did.
One dude keeping track of everything on paper.
Which is me. I'm the commissioner of the league. Yeah. So it was, I think we kept track. There was like a software package on a diskette that you could put into your laptop, and that's what we used to track the league. Like, it was among the first times that you could download the stats every week. Because, most leagues...
And you had a bunch of dudes thumbing through their Athlons.
Yes. Nobody had laptops. Everybody had magazines, yes.
You had just sprung $12.95 for a magazine at HEB get prepped for your fantasy draft.
League includes... This league was started... Me and Lance Zierlein started this league in 1997 when I was a listener of his and Granado's on this very show. So yeah. I was a listener to their show.
I was a guest on this show. You might have informed some of your draft opinions based on some nugget you got from me on the show.
Possibly. We started the league in 97. We've been going, Adam Wexler's in the league, so we got a nice radio representation in there. Daryl Morey has been in that league at one time for a season.
You said he was a fiend with the trades, right?
He was a
serial trader, as you'd expect.
He was a serial waiver wire guy. And serial waiver wire, and now I won't go too deep on this, I promise. But
screw that. That's just
No. But the way our CBS Sports houses our league now, it's all done online. And the waivers run on Wednesday nights. So we have a waiver priority list, and you put in your pickups and things like that. Once the waiver priority list is done, it's first come, first serve to whoever's out there after that. And Daryl would just wait for the first come, first serve part. He didn't want to give up his waiver spot. So he waited for the first come, first serve, which was open for business at 3 in the morning on Thursday morning. And so I would, at 3 in the morning, every week, my phone would start going, because I get push notifications because I'm the commissioner. And Amy would wake up and she's like, who is texting you at 3 in the morning? And I would pick up my phone. I'm like, that's Daryl Morey. He is making 7 pickups right now on our waiver wire.
What years would those be? Was he in the league?
It was just, yeah, it was just 1 year. It was 2013.
2013, okay.
It was 2013. So and the funny thing...
He was sitting in some cafe in Croatia scouting somebody, and it was no big deal for him to be up at 3 a.m.
The funny thing about that, Seth, is that Lance invited him to be in the league because one of our owners dropped out, and the owner that dropped out was the one guy whose entry fee we could count on getting every year. Like, he never won, this guy. I won't say who he was. Yeah. He was like... So we were joking, like... Okay, so we replaced the Isaiah Thomas GM of our league with the actual Daryl Morey. That was 2 months after Daryl had pulled off the Dwight Howard signing, and a year after he had pulled off the James Harden trade. That was probably peak Daryl Morey at that time.
That might have been the peak prime of his life. He was probably learning three languages off on the side and everything. Everything had just kind of come together for him.
He drafted eight running backs.
That was his 3-point shot.
Yes,
was just going to go heavy on that. Was his strategy.
Yeah, if I get two, they were to him like what power forwards were to him before they got James Harden. Before they got James Harden, they had like seven power forwards on the roster, and he's like, well, one of them's going to work out, and they'll trade three of them for James Harden. It's all good, you know.
How did he do in the
middle
league?
Of the pack? Middle of the pack. Yeah, he's middle of the pack. So
that's good though. I think that's pretty cool that you guys have kept that together for so long, especially since so many of you work in an industry where typically people find themselves having to go elsewhere to find jobs, like out of town.
Yeah.
So kudos to the Houston sports radio industry with our, at times, five sports radio stations.
Yeah, no kidding.
Idiotically.
No kidding. Ain't complaining. I was on the fourth one. That's where I got my start. That's where I cut my teeth. The big thing with this league is that, one, we do an auction. Our auctioneer every year had to bail out this year because he had a Little League meeting. So our auctioneer was Larry in Stafford last night. I called Larry. I'm like, Larry, need you. He was awesome.
Oh, cool.
Larry's like,
he must have been so excited to do it.
He was super pumped to do it. I said, Larry, we're going to feed you. You get pizza and you get whatever beverages you want. I'll go to the liquor store and get you something. That's your fee. And and Larry's like, Larry, yeah, that's, we pay big in this league.
He's like the guy standing outside the gas station. Hey, look, hey. You were the teenagers asking Larry if you we'll give you money for liquor if you come to our fantasy
dude,
draft.
Dude, he was great. So I texted him middle of the afternoon yesterday, and he's like, I'd love to do it. There's only one problem. I've never been an auctioneer before. And I'm like, Larry, it's not hard. Just, you know, you someone's going to put a player up for auction, and you just drive the price up. And if it starts to lull, you go going once, going twice, sold. By like the second or third player, Larry is up there performing, man.
He was
great.
Good. Yeah.
He was excellent.
Yeah, I bet he was really good.
Yeah, he was excellent. So that was...
I got booted off of my auctioneer duties 1 year because I was just way too nice. Look, I'm like Zadok Jewelers. I take an educational approach and I'm out there, and the woman running the charities telling me like, no, you got to drive it up. You got to tell me, you got to like prod people. And I'm like, hey, that's not my sales style, lady. I want to have a long-term relationship with this person I'm never going to see again.
That's a lot of pressure. Forget about standing.
Oh, I didn't. I was awful at it. I might've been the worst auctioneer, and it was for Wade Smith's charity. I felt bad about it at the time.
Yeah.
But I was incredibly bad at it. So good job, Larry. That's not an easy role to be thrust
into. No, they train people for that. George from the Morning Bull had to go to auctioneer school. Because he does the auction.
Oh, yeah, he's good at it.
He's excellent. Yeah. I mean, he's trained to do it. It's like a legit. He went away for like 2 weeks to train to do it. Like, he took like 2 or 3 weeks off and went up to Dallas to learn how to be an auctioneer. He makes some decent scratch on the side doing that.
Sometimes they do a thing too where like they'll have you, they want you to drive the price up. And then at the last moment, they give the two highest bidders both like, hey, we'll give you both this price. And, that's where I started to really lose that. I felt an ethical dilemma.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm on your side of that. I'm like, I can't do this.
Especially when you're somebody who's been the second bidder that's just trying to maybe do the solid, but lose.
Driving the price up. Like,
and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're going to give it to you anyway. Right. Like, oh, you lose.
Okay.
Son of
I just paid 20 grand for Johnny Manziel to come to my house for dinner. All right. Awesome. Okay.
I ended up with an autographed Kevin Booth golf bag once.
I don't even know what the, I don't even know who Kevin
Booth. He was an offensive lineman for the Giants who'd gone to Cornell. And I bid on this thing to try to get some things going.
And you don't even golf.
Here I am. I'm like, hey, I've got an NFL player's golf bag autographed.
Oh my God.
For a sport I never played.
Do you still have it?
No, I gave it to somebody who definitely isn't using it because it was like bright red, like Cornell, like with a big old bear on it and Kevin Booth autograph.
Yeah, there's only a select few who even want it.
All my friends were like, dude, that's kind of, you feel kind of lame about it? I don't care. They use a different word.
All right, we're off and running on a Wednesday. The Astros play tonight against the Reds. Spencer Arrighetti on the mound. We talked about this yesterday with Verlander being a little shaky.
I
have
no memory of this.
Verlander being shaky. Who starts a decisive game three if they're in the wild card? I polled this yesterday. This poll is a redemption story for somebody within the Astros organization. We will tell you who coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
If you missed the open to the show, Seth told a story about him buying a golf bag autographed by Kevin Booth, a former NFL offensive lineman who went to Cornell.
Yeah.
You bought it.
Younger than me, too. That's made it even weirder.
Yeah, so I'm assuming this is like a Cornell-based charity event, maybe, that you were raising money at.
Yeah, I was at a Cornell golf tournament, and there was an item up, and it wasn't getting any bids. So I was like, I'll get it started. I'll get it rolling. And then I won the damn thing.
You wound up with
something I really didn't want. But way more than I could have had it made custom for. Yeah.
Text message. Hey, Seth. Did you give that golf bag back to Kevin Booth since it already had his name on it and he could use it at the gym and people would know that it's his? It was a golf bag. It wasn't a gym bag.
That would be even better if he kept his golf
clubs into the gym.
Yeah, it wasn't a gym bag. Right. I could have had use for that. Right. I go to the gym.
Right. The thing about it wasn't so much the Kevin Booth autograph. It's the fact that you never golf.
I don't golf. And then this thing was like a big, ostentatious, like Rodney Dangerfield style deal. It might as well have had speakers on it and everything else. It was big and white and red, and it had a big signature on it. player that I had to explain to people who it was.
Who he was.
It was Ed Marinero? Well, yeah. No, but still, very respectable, good player. Yes.
Yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday morning. Appreciate you getting up with us. So we talked extensively yesterday about this pitching staff. Big topic. Justin Verlander has not looked like Verlander. He's got an ERA of nearly 7 since he returned from the injured list. So, if the playoffs were to start tomorrow, Verlander clearly is not one of their three or four best pitchers right now. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, specifically with Verlander. But I put this poll up yesterday because the Astros could and likely will find themselves in a wild card round for the first time in the other than COVID, the first time in the history of this team in a 162 game season.
In the three game wild card,
not the one game wild card. Yeah, the best two out of three. So the question I pose to Astro fans: if the playoffs started tomorrow, the Astros would be in a best of three wild card series with the Royals. No brainer that you start Framber and Hunter in games one and two. I think we can all agree on that, right? There's no poll necessary for that. Those are two of the starters. If there were
Hunter with a respectable amount of postseason experience at this point, too.
For a young guy, sure.
Yeah, for a young guy.
Yep. If there were a decisive game three, who starts? Verlander, these are the choices. Verlander, Arrigetti, Yusei Kikuchi, Ronel Blanco. Who, Seth Payne, do you think won this poll?
I am guessing that... and thank you for giving me the definition of majority last week. I think in a majority, an actual majority, over 50% of the votes, I think Kikuchi won.
Give me a number. Because you're on track. Give me a number.
Okay, there's four.
Yeah.
Blanco probably didn't get many at all.
4% for Blanco, yeah.
Okay. I think Verlander got some probably based on sentimentality and playoff experience, even though on the whole is, you know, it's not like he's dominant in the playoffs.
He was second.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Or he was third. He was third. Sorry. Yeah.
He was third. Yeah. Who is the other option?
Arrigetti. He was second.
Oh, yeah. Arrigetti, boy. I guess some people maybe aren't completely convinced that Kikuchi is a different dude now that he's with the Astros and all of their guidance and analytics and whatnot. I bet Kikuchi got like 65% of the votes.
60.1%. That fits in. Okay. Yeah, you get a ding for that. Good job. Yeah, 60? How about that? Think about this poll right now. So the results were Kikuchi, and there's over 1,000 votes in this thing, so there's a good amount of Astro fans jumped in on this. There's still 5 hours left if you want to get out and vote. Kikuchi got 60, a little over 60%. Arrigetti, a little over 22%. Verlander, 13.5%. And Blanco, just a little over 4% of the vote. The interesting things about this are two things. One, that Arrigetti is, if someone had told you like 2 months ago, Spencer Arrigetti would be getting 10% more than Justin Verlander in a vote like this.
Right.
Even injured Verlander. Like, even with Verlander on the IL, you would have said, you're crazy. But Kikuchi getting 60%, this is a redemption story for Dana Brown. This was a widely panned trade. People were calling this, I think inaccurately, but calling this the D-Hop trade because of what they gave up to get a guy who in his previous 8 starts had an ERA of like 9. Kikuchi was terrible when they traded for him. And now he's getting 60% of the vote from Astro fans as the preference to start a decisive game three, if there were one, in a poll that includes Justin Verlander in it.
Hmm.
He's got nearly 5 times the vote as Justin Verlander.
For what it's worth, I think Kikuchi... Now, we're talking between Arrigetti and Kikuchi. Arrigetti has no major league playoffs experience.
Zero.
Kikuchi only has 1 2/3 innings.
Yeah,
basically zero. Didn't start the game, came in versus the Minnesota, I believe, and pitched 1 2/3 innings. So it's not like because he's a veteran, he's also got boatloads of experience more than Spencer Arrigetti. But obviously with his overall experience as a major league pitcher, I just feel better about him. Given recent performance and everything else, I would feel better about him than Arrigetti. And with Verlander, like right now, the way he looked in that last start, if we're talking right now, you just can't trust that he's going to go out and put in a winning effort in a playoff game. It might very easily change over the next several games if he gets his velocity back, etc. I'm encouraged that he went 100 pitches the other day, so it might just all be a matter of getting his mechanics right, and he's shown the ability to do that time and time again in his career.
Yeah.
But right now, I just feel way better about Kikuchi.
You start to think about it, and if Verlander... I mean, I suppose if Verlander's not starting for you in a wild card round, in a best of three, there has to be a conversation of, is he on the roster for that series? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, do you start to, like, Verlander at age 41 or whatever he is, early in the postseason, Do you have him on the roster and mess around with him coming in and pitching two random innings when he might be your fourth starter in the next round of the playoffs? You know what I mean? Like, he might not, if Verlander's not going to start a game for you, he might not be of use in a best of three series, which is a crazy conversation to have.
Right, that he might not even be on the roster. No, it's just, you've got to be dialed in on every little thing because there's no time. It's not like the Phillies World Series where, you know, eventually your pitching is going to catch up to the opponent.
Yeah.
You've got to have your very best out there at any given time.
Yeah.
It's three games.
Yep.
One bad performance by a pitcher could be the end of it.
That's it, man. That's it. Yeah, so Kikuchi, good job, Dana Brown. You traded for the pitcher that everybody wants to start a playoff game now.
Spillane was good. I was glad that I was getting out there in my opinions over Kikuchi and getting a little on the extreme side. I was never at the DeAndre Hopkins side of things.
No.
Spillane kind of talked me down a little bit. It was good because, you know, I had you fanning the flames, and then the next day you were out for some reason, and Spillane came in and talked sense to me.
Yeah, Spillane is the sensible one when it comes to these things, for sure.
He's annoyingly sensible at times.
Yeah,
He's like the actually valid well actually. he gives you a well actually, and I'm like, hey, don't be well actually, guy. Even though I can 100% see that you're correct to be well actually
right.
in me now.
If Spillane ever asked me for career advice, I would say you need to be less sensible. you got a hot take a little more, Spo. Come on now, join us.
He's not afraid to. Anger people. I think the one thing about, which is good for Spillane, he's going to tell you the flat out truth in his eyes. Spencer Arrighetti, I guess the one thing I would say is that I think maybe there's a perception that he more consistently goes deeper into games, which is true over the course of the last couple months. But we're talking, Spencer Arrighetti can give you six, whereas Kikuchi is typically, you only come in for 5 2/3 innings until his last outing where he went 7 innings.
Yeah.
I'm not as worried about that. I'm just, I want overall experience, freshness, and performance right now.
I'd pick
Kikuchi. Splitting the hairs between those two.
I think you and I are on the same page. I would pick Kikuchi in this poll with the 60% here.
And especially in a 3-game series. Yeah. Theoretically, you're not as worried about your relievers' arms. You know, you don't need your starters to go as deep into games.
Well, I had a few people say I wouldn't even look at any of these guys as a starting. But I'd have a bullpen game and maybe start one of them and piggyback or something like that. You know, just to.
Because if you go full bore analytics into it, I mean, look, we are the team of committee no hitters. We very well understand that there's times where, your best option is to just throw out a bunch of fresh relievers and do it. That's a really interesting option.
Yeah, that's like if there were a fifth choice, I would have put that on there. Get it together, Twitter. Give us 5 choices on polls. Text message. Lost my job yesterday. Got up to exercise.
Oh, no.
Got up to exercise and listen to Payne and Pendergast. Took yesterday to sulk. And now I'm hitting the streets today to find something else. Thanks for the early morning laughs, guys.
I'll tell you what. Thanks for the pep talk, man.
No
I just
kidding.
Got a pep talk from a guy, an inadvertent pep talk from a guy who just lost his job, or lady. I think it was a guy. He's up there, took one day to sulk. That's perfect.
Yes.
He just, all right, it's okay. Absorb it. It's okay to feel bad. And then the next day he's up at dawn working out and getting ready to go find another job. Good for you, man.
I will tell this to, if I were talking to this guy personally, which I feel like I am right now, I've been fired once in my life. It was February 23rd, 2007. Our company that I was vice president of sales for got purchased that day. So they didn't need my ass anymore. They had a VP of sales already, probably one that was better than me. That was the very same day that I got the phone call to get my first offer to do radio. So the very day that I got fired, man, was the same day that I got a phone call from Chance McClain. And he said, hey, man. We're starting this radio. Don't tell anybody, but there's a bunch of us that are going to start up this radio station, and your name came up to give a tryout to maybe do a little afternoon drive. And I said,
Did you fight down your internal urges and did you say, well, I'll have to think about it?
No.
I was like, a lot of obligations here.
I was very honest. Probably too much. Well, the first thing I knew was, okay, a startup radio station. I'm not going to be able to hold their feet to the fire with my zero experience to try to get more money. So
I was having a startup newspaper.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. No, I had to come to grips with the 80% pay cut that I was about to get for saying yes to this crazy thing. I told Chance, I was like, man, if you, and this is what I hope inspires our listener here. If he had caught me a month earlier or a month later, he caught me on that day. That's why I said yes. Yeah. If he had caught me a month earlier, because it was a completely irresponsible thing to do financially. Like, I literally made so much less money starting out in radio, but it was always a dream. And I figured I'm never going to get this phone call again. And there was a lot of negotiating with myself that had to go on because I had to move back to Houston and my kids were going to stay in Chicago. There was a lot of broken glass. But he caught me at my lowest moment, and I said, you know what? If I don't say yes to it right now, I'm never going to say yes to this.
You'll never say this. You'll be thinking about it. You'll be a grumpy old man in a bar.
Could have been in
someday,
radio.
Telling the guy next, boring the guy next to you about what you could have been.
Yes, yeah. That's 100%, Seth. That's what I thought. I'm like, if I don't say yes to this, I'm going to hate myself.
Good job, man.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I can't tell you how many times I wish I'd get fired from this job. So something actually interesting in my life could come up.
Don't get fired.
I want to keep doing
the show with you. Don't get fired.
I've kind of tried before in the past and it didn't work out. So
I know you guys can't see any of it.
You do that? How many times would Seth have to curse on the air to get fired? I think Seth is very well regarded around here. I think
probably until I run out of dump.
Yeah, it'd probably have to be something where you're intentional. Like Seth is intentionally doing it, like tying the trophy to his bumper.
Dump.
Good job, Ben.
I did a move once where I thought I was going to get fired, and the person that I was doing the move to got fired because I was so angry at that person.
Oh,
I think it all kind of flipped out.
That is funny.
I didn't intend to do it.
No, I wasn't
Machiavellian in it or anything. I was genuinely disgruntled about something.
Okay, I was going to say, man, that's some Game of Thrones stuff right there.
No. Yeah. This was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I think that, for anybody out there, it is true. A lot of times we get into these ruts where you're just kind of going along and you're doing, you're like, all right, well, I'm not really. It is an opportunity, even though it might not feel like
it.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's a huge opportunity. Sometimes getting knocked down is a really good time to reassess.
Dude.
And just like our young friend who's out there looking for a job after his workout this morning, man, just attack it that way.
Do it, man.
It's an opportunity. Might not feel like it. And listen, if you got to look. Look, your credit rating will survive, okay? It'll be a little blemish for a few weeks.
Do whatever
you got to do to make it through the next few months. Don't listen. Call them up and say, like, hey, can we modify this a little bit or something? But do not be a slave to the credit ratings. That'll recover quickly as long as you're not going Chapter 7.
That's the next chapter in my pep talk to this guy. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Because mine took a pounding as I invested heavily in myself to keep this radio dream alive.
Yeah, I'm not saying abandon your debts, but just know that you got some leeway here.
And it's way better now. I'm doing fine now. But yeah, like there were some lean times, man, for sure. But don't be afraid.
Their biggest threat is, hey, we're going to take away your ability to get you into even more financial trouble down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you going to borrow too much money?
Trust me, if
your credit rating goes down,
start mailing you credit card offers again sometime down the road. Don't worry. All right, Payne and Pendergast. Let's do some headlines coming up next. The Astros play tonight. Texans beginning to get ready. We got to keep an eye. The injury report today is something to keep an eye. We'll talk about it all in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, we got headlines for you. Astros headlines. No game yesterday. They play again tonight, and then they have a noon game tomorrow, wrapping things up. And then Arizona comes to town. I'm going to the game on Friday. Very excited about that. They're 6.5 games up. Mariners lost last night, Seth. I guess the big
news. In a walk-off fashion.
Yeah, something they're.
Again.
They're really good at that. They're really good at losing in walk-off fashion. They're the best. They've done it 10 times this year. 10 times the Mariners have lost in walk-off fashion. Hardware yesterday. Astros picked some up. Predictably, it was the pitching staff picking up the hardware. Spencer Arrighetti, tonight's starter. AL Rookie of the Month.
Damn.
Yeah.
Excuse my language, kids.
Josh Hader, AL Reliever of the Month.
So, huzzah!
Yeah, there you go. Huzzah. So a little more Dana Brown redemption, right? You got Kikuchi winning the Pender poll for preferred starter in a game three of a wild card round. And you got Josh Hader, expensive signing in the offseason, being named the best reliever in the American League for the month of August. And Eric Geddy, who's not even supposed to be on the team, really. Like, this should be Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy eating up all these innings in August and September right now. Eric Geddy was not in the plans coming out of spring training. And now he's progressed to the point where he's the best rookie in the American League for the entire month.
You know what, though? And thank God that, thank goodness that that Kikuchi has pitched as he has been, because Will Wagner, very capable of playing first base, and one of the guys who was traded for Kikuchi.
How's he doing?
Currently hitting .333 with an .878 OPS.
Okay.
He's doing all right. He's doing all right. In the major leagues, that is. He didn't, that's not down in the Toronto minor league system. That's in the major leagues.
If he turns into a player where that will, and again, this is a small, I get what you're saying. This is small
Size. Yeah. Only, he's had 63 at-bats.
Yeah. No, if he turns into something where that's going to come back to roost, because he can play first base, but he really is a third baseman.
Yeah.
Next year. if Alex Bregman leaves in free agency and Will Wagner is, you know, has turned into a, like, best case, he probably turns into an average player, but an average player, but there's no plan over a third base right now, unless it's DiCenzo or one of these guys.
Then it becomes, if Kikuchi, good chance he's not even on this team next year. If it is, it's as a free agent. Right. You know, it's the trade didn't necessarily help you out that much. That you've got to make a deep playoff run this year, which around here, around these parts, anything shy of at least making the World Series, as spoiled as we are, feels like you didn't make a deep playoff run. The ALCS feels like our birthright at this point.
Yes.
It's like, oh, great. Yeah. Well, they made the ALCS.
Right.
What, doesn't everybody do that every year?
Yeah.
So if Will Wagner is a real deal third baseman, and both Bregman and Kikuchi are off this team next year, then, and the Astros don't make it to the World Series, it's going to end up, people will forget the glow of August Kikuchi.
Yes.
If all of that disappears.
Yeah. Yep. That's how it goes. That's the game. When you're trading prospects, that's the game you're playing. Texans news. They named their captains yesterday. You know I'm into this, Seth. I love it. Now, this is noteworthy. I will say this. ESPN put out a push notification about this yesterday to its, not its Houston audience, its national audience, as a headline that Stephon Diggs was named one of the seven captains of the Houston Texans. Because know, he did not leave Buffalo in a very captain-like fashion.
Yeah.
So here, just real quick, and then get your take on this. But they named their captains, three on offense, C.J. Stroud, Laremy Tunsil, Stephon Diggs. Three on defense, Will Anderson Jr., Azeez Alshire, Jimmy Ward, and then John Weeks was named captain off a special team. So those are the seven captains, and Diggs being a captain was big news yesterday.
I guess this is where I have a hard time participating, and I'm sorry to everybody right now who just might see this differently than I. I've got to know, every single time that you try to say, oh yeah, Bills fans, well look at this, Bills fans can easily respond with, yeah, this was our experience too. Like,
he was a captain up there.
He was a captain every year he was up in Buffalo. He was a captain last year in Buffalo. Yeah. So Bills fans, it's just very easy for Bills fans in this ridiculous, the peeing contest that doesn't ultimately matter at all anyway, between Bills fans and Texans fans. Every single time, what the Bills fans will say, like, yeah, we've been through all this before.
Right.
And that's where, as a Texans fan, if you want to continue the discussion, you just say, right, but it's not a concern of ours because he's only a one-year player, most likely.
Yep.
And so we got him, you don't, et cetera, et cetera. The Bills, ultimately, I think, are going to be a disappointment this year for a variety of reasons. That's where you can really start turning the screws.
Yeah.
Just wait. Lay in wait. Bookmark some tweets from Bills fans and just lay in wait, because likely the Texans' offense is going to be better than the Bills' offense, and C.J. Stroud's going to look a whole lot better with Stephon Diggs than Josh Allen does without him.
Yeah, I thought Cowherd put it well yesterday. Cowherd did his Cowherd did his preseason like top 10 teams, and the Texans are in there. We may play the audio later. Ben, I haven't sent it to you, but we may play it later. I've got it bookmarked. But I thought he put it well. He's like, Stephon Diggs may be a better acquisition for the Texans, a greater acquisition for the Texans than he was a loss to the Bills. You know, like the impact, the positive impact of getting Stephon Diggs for the Texans will probably far exceed whatever negative impact losing Diggs got for the. There will be a negative impact, but it won't be as profound as the impact Diggs could have for the Texans here.
I disagree with Coward because I think, again, like Coward, he's not a guy that actually just really watches the film or anything or digs in deep. That's not what he's supposed to do. He does just fine. But I think the perception that Stephon Diggs just wasn't productive or having an impact over the back third of last year is just way overblown based on box score numbers. And Josh Allen does not, he doesn't have necessarily the same resources that Pat Mahomes did, both in terms of guys around him and coaching. Like when Pat Mahomes lost Tyreek Hill. Coaching. He doesn't have the same resources that Pat Mahomes did, and I would include in that just in natural talent and ability. Pat Mahomes is just above and beyond everybody else at this point
in terms
of natural ability. I disagree with Coward there, but I don't think ultimately that I think the Bills are going to be disappointed in a lot of ways this year.
Yeah, I was hoping that would be last year. I had the under on them last year. So you think, I think their total in Vegas is 10 wins. Would you go under 10 wins for the Bills?
I would go under, yeah.
Would you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would too.
I think I actually, I got to go check my BetUS receipts, but no, I haven't made that bet yet. I'm saving that for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you better do it soon. The season starts this week.
I know.
Not sure
I know.
If you heard. Yeah. If speaking
it starts
of,
tomorrow, Sean.
It does, well, but the Bills bet will be up there for another few days.
But the season starts tomorrow.
I know. One more, Seth. One more sleep. I was thinking about this yesterday. Only one more sleep as of this morning until the records aren't 0-0 for anybody anymore. Well, like actually, there will be two teams when we wake up on Friday morning. There will be two teams that have some sort of mark on there, a win or a loss or a tie on their record.
I'll write a Chandler Rome style article for you, just for you. I'll say, when Sean Pendergast awoke that morning, there were 3 days greater than minus 3 days until until the season would start.
Good.
Yes.
I speak fluent Chandler these days. So
Chandler
wants
you to do two things. He wants you to visualize somebody waking up in the morning, and he wants you to have to do math to figure out a simple statistic.
Reverse math. Like,
yeah, he wants you to. He'll never say, like, well, they were the fifth best team.
No.
He's like, only four teams were better.
Yeah.
Than the six worst teams, minus everybody else above them on that day.
Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, up next, we'll start to get D'Amico Ryan's kind of scouting report on the Indianapolis Colts. Let's start getting ready for week one. What does he think of Anthony Richardson? What does he think of Jonathan Taylor? How about the defensive side of the ball? We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans. And we'll take a look at the power rankings. We'll power rank them, in fact. The power rankings are out heading into the season. What do the experts think of the Texans? That's coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.